Some of the views expressed on the Mormon Channel are solely for the education and inspiration of our audience and may not represent the official position of the Church.
And now, The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints presents Enduring It Well. Childhood and youth is a time of happiness and joy. As we step forward from the crib, we discover a world of wonder all around, a world that simply has to be explored. As our world expands, so too does our interaction with those around us, those that can and often do help us grow, intentionally or unintentionally. But what if in our expansion, in the expeditions of discovery, we discover for ourselves that to do so could have serious health ramifications? What conditions exist that could challenge our growth, our footprint on mortality? What if our medical condition begins to impede our growth and threaten to limit our earthly education? What is it like to be young, anxious to participate, yet halted by the reality that to do so might prove to be too dangerous? What perspective on life can we learn from a child or youth who faces illness? We are admonished to become as a little child, submissive, teachable. What can the submissive, the humble, the innocent child teach us about facing adversity? Welcome to Enduring It Well with host W.A. Christensen.
Jake, a 12-year-old deacon from Central Washington, has a condition known generically as primary immune deficiency. Specifically, it's called C2 complement deficiency IgG subclass deficiency. Because of Jake's low immunity, he gets colds and sore throats once or twice a month, which often turn into serious infections like pneumonia or septicemia within a few hours if not treated with antibiotics. Any signal of a cold or sore throat, oral antibiotics are started immediately. If a fever develops while taking the antibiotics, Jake is often hospitalized for days at a time. Jake is very susceptible to other serious life-threatening infections like meningitis. It was meningitis that claimed the life of Jake's sister before he was born. Specialists now believe that his sister may have had this same immune deficiency, and that is why her meningitis progressed so quickly to coma and death when she was but 4 years old. Jake suffered repeated hospitalizations and poor growth for years, until a specialist at Seattle Children's Hospital suggested IV gamma globulin treatments every 3 weeks. Despite the treatments, Jake was still getting sick and had many lengthy hospitalizations, often resulted in being quarantined. Eventually, doctors increased the gamma globulin treatment intervals to every 2 weeks. Immediately, Jake began to feel better, and it has made a distinct improvement for Jake's quality of life. Homeschooled for years, eventually he was enrolled again in public school, where he enjoys the social side of school with his friends. Jake and his family have learned that there is just no way to avoid the germs of life. Despite the treatments and a rigorous sanitation routine, Jake still gets infections about every month, sometimes more. Now 12 years old, Jake's doctors cleared him to play sports a few years ago. He tried out for Little League Baseball and played pitcher and first base, and this year tried out for the 7th grade basketball team. For Jake, the prognosis is what it is. He lives with a constant uncertainty, not knowing for sure what will happen any time, any day, any month of any year. Jake and his family have learned to uproot their lives at a moment's notice, if needed, to get treatment for Jake. He's an inspiration to all who know him, an example of love, patience, humor, hope, and courage. Jake joins us via Skype from his home in Washington. Welcome to Enduring It Well. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well and appreciate you coming on. Tell us a little bit about Jake. Who is Jake?
I'm a fun-loving person and I like to play sports and I love my family and friends.
What do you do? What do you like to do with any free time that you have?
Either read, play video games, or try to talk to a family member.
And you like sports, you're involved in sports, and you're a deacon now, is that right?
Yes, I'm a deacon, and it's really great being able to pass a sacrament every Sunday, and I feel the Spirit when I do.
Sort of goes back to my own days in Aaronic priesthood, but have you ever toilet papered a house?
Oh, yes, I do it all the time with my sister.
And you live where?
We live on the east side of Washington, I think.
You're a little too young for seminary right now, is that right?
Yeah, I'm too young. But I love going to Mutual and love the activities.
Tell us a little bit about the condition that you have. What's it called again?
I have an immune deficiency. It's where I have to go into the hospital every 2 weeks and receive gamma globulin, which is like a really expensive medicine that our lovely insurance covers. Uh-huh. And it helps me stay well and be able to play sports.
So once you started getting that that treatment, you noticed a difference.
Yeah, there was less often when I was in my bed sick, and I could be outside with my friends playing.
So up until that time, were you kind of restricted as to where you could go and what you could do?
Definitely. I was always really sick, and most of the time, it wasn't very fun.
What are some of the problems, some of the difficult things that you had to face, that you've had to face with this immune deficiency?
Every second Wednesday, I have to miss some school, and so it's really hard catching up, but it's worth it.
And as far as what it does to you, does it make you tired? Do you get, or is it just that you're really vulnerable to any kind of illness or sickness?
After the shot, usually I'm kind of drowsy, and I'm just kind of in bed the rest of the day, but then the next morning, I'm usually up and ready to go anywhere.
So you bounce back pretty well. Now, has that always been the case when you were a little guy, when you were a little boy? How did it affect you when you were little?
Well, I can't really remember when I was little, so I've been doing it ever since I can remember.
So it goes way back for you, though.
Yeah.
Is it painful at all?
Just at first, but you usually get to just read or play video games all the time during the hospital, so as fun as possible.
And so when you say that, when I ask you if it's painful and you say just at first, you're talking specifically about the treatments, is that right?
Yeah.
What do they do? How do they, when you go in for those treatments, what is it that the nurses or the doctors do?
Well, they mix the medicine and then they come in and they shoot me up.
So they give you an injection, give you the IV, and is that hard for them to find that?
We have this really good vein, and they just give me the shot, and then they flush it and hook it up to the medicine bottle.
And you just sit there while that's going on?
Yeah, it's pretty long. It takes about 4 to 5 hours just sitting there in the hospital bed.
How long have you been having these treatments?
Probably since I was really young, like 2 or 3.
Even the treatments are something you've known most of your life.
Yeah, I can't remember not doing them.
And when they give you those injections, when they give you those IV drips, essentially the bulk of that pain comes from trying to find that vein, trying to get that IV flowing. Is that right?
Yeah, most of the time it takes a couple of tries, but they usually get in there.
Let's step back a little bit. Before these treatments started helping you to the level that it is now, you found yourself in the hospital being sick a lot. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And did you get like pneumonia? What were the problems that you would have?
I remember one day specifically when I was really young. Like, this is one of the only memories. I fell asleep like really normal. And then I woke up the next morning and it was really bad. I had a really bad fever. So it's kind of scary how fast it escalated in like an 8-hour period.
So from the onset to where you get yourself in trouble enough to have to be in the hospital, it can go quick.
Yeah.
Now, you've said that you've had a lot of pain over the years, particularly from these treatments. And as a child, you learned to sort of deal with it. And I was talking with your mother, and she related this to me. She said, Jake was very patient and funny even when he was 3 years old. All the nurses loved him. There have been a couple of times that he's lost his temper in the hospital. One day, a nurse poked him over and over again to get an IV started. He was pretty patient until he couldn't help himself but blurt out, "Gosh, that was like your fifth try."
Yeah.
For some reason, Napoleon Dynamite comes to mind to me there. She also mentioned another day the nurse had to poke 2 flexible tubes up both of your nostrils to get a flu test. She said the tubes went clear into your nose and back down your throat and back out. She said that you yelled, "Don't you ever, 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 ever do that again."
Yeah.
Do you remember those moments?
Yes, I remember those moments very vividly.
And your mom says that those are the only times she can remember you being impatient or put out. Your mom says Jake doesn't even flinch or look up now. He's usually with his Game Boy when they poke him. He's tough as nails and a very, very patient. How did you get to be like that, Jake? Going from a little boy that was being poked and it was painful, how did you learn to deal with that pain?
Well, I've always had a very sensitive family, and I've always been able to cope with stress or dangerous or hurtful things, mm-hmm. and we've been able to work through it together.
And so family is important. Having a support system like that's important.
Yes, very important.
If I remember correctly now, you've got a sister who also has cystic fibrosis. Is that right?
Yes. Her name's Sydney, and she's amazing.
And she paid you to say that, right?
Oh, definitely. Okay. No, I'm joking.
So when you have, you've watched her struggle, and as a result, you have empathy to her, she's had empathy to you, and both of you in the back of your minds know that you lost a sister to her condition. She had cystic fibrosis as well, and you never knew her, but in the back of your mind, you know that that took place. How has that knowledge, knowing that you had a sister that you never knew, who passed away at a young age, how has that impacted what you know about your situation in the trials that you face?
Well, my mom's been through a lot, having to raise a bunch of special needs children, and she's helped a lot, and she's a great mom.
So it's been helpful to have a mother that's understanding, a father that's understanding they would do anything for you. When you realize that there are times that you see your siblings struggling, but there are also times when you're in that hot seat where you're struggling and you know they're praying for you, they're concerned for you, do you feel like a united team in a way?
Oh, yes. Yeah, we're really good at bonding.
And has that helped you?
Yes, definitely.
Let's talk about that pain in a little bit more. Elder Kent F. Richards of the 70 spoke about pain in General Conference of April 2011, I think it was. I think it was a Saturday morning session. And among other things, Elder Richard, who was a surgeon, said, I have noted that children are often more naturally accepting of pain and suffering. They quietly endure with humility and meekness. I have felt a beautiful, sweet spirit surrounding these little ones. And then he recounted a story that was written in the Ensign by Michael R. Morris called Sherry's Shield of Faith. Jake, this story is one that was significant to my children and to us. It gave us great hope when we found ourselves in ICU at the hospital. So listen to this story and then tell me what you think of it when it's over. 13-year-old Sherry underwent a 14-hour operation for a tumor on her spinal cord. As she regained consciousness in the intensive care unit, she said, quote, Daddy, Aunt Cheryl is here, and Grandpa Norman and Grandma Brown, they're all here. And Daddy, who is that standing beside you? He looks like you, only a little taller. He says he's your brother, Jimmy. Her Uncle Jimmy had died at age 13 of cystic fibrosis. For nearly an hour, Sherry described her visitors, all deceased family members. Exhausted, she then fell asleep. She later told her father, Daddy, all of the children here in the intensive care unit have angels helping them. So Jake, how does that story make you feel when you know you've spent time in the hospital and you know that little ones have to suffer sometimes, that there's a sweet spirit surrounding these little ones, that in fact this Sherry noticed and saw these angels all around her? How does that make you feel?
That makes me feel really good to know that my deceased loved ones are maybe comforting me and cheering me on.
You're not really alone, are you?
No, I'm definitely not.
So I'm going to read another scripture to you, and you tell me what you think of this. What do you think of and what do you feel when I read this scripture from the Doctrine and Covenants? It's section 50, verses 40, 41, and 44. It says, quote, Behold, ye are little children, and you cannot bear all things now. You must grow in grace and in the knowledge of the truth. Fear not, little children, for you are mine. "Wherefore I am in your midst, and I am the good shepherd," end of quote. And that's the Savior, that's the Lord talking to us, saying, "Wherefore I am in your midst, and I am the good shepherd." What does that scripture mean to you? How does that feel?
That feels awesome because he's our shepherd, and he always guides us through tough times and trials, and he always helps us complete our stressful our missions and stressful things.
Have you felt that in your life at all?
Yes, I have.
And so those moments when you're sitting there and you know, oh no, I'm feeling sick and fever's rising, I'm going to end up in the hospital, have you ever really contemplated and thought, you know, I know that my Father in heaven, I know the Savior's there for me?
Yes, I have. He's always there for us, and I'm so happy that he sacrificed for us.
Elder Richard ended his talk in conference this way, so I'll read this and then tell me what you think of it. He said, quote, "The pain you and I experience may be where this process is most measured. In extremity, we can become as children in our hearts, humble ourselves, and pray and work and wait patiently for the healing of our bodies and souls. As Job, after being refined through our trials, we shall come forth as gold." What does that mean? What do you think that means, to come forth as gold one day?
Does it mean that you will come forth to Heavenly Father and you will be pure and you will be loving and he will accept you?
I think so. I think that's a great interpretation. And, you know, if you think about it, gold, in the history of man, gold is one of those real valuable commodities. And so I think another thing, in addition to what you said, is I think he is also possibly meaning that we come forth as something very valuable, having gone through something difficult like that. Have you felt, yes, when you've gone through these hard things, that you're learning something?
Yes, I have. I try to accomplish my goals along with a bit of humor to help others around me, and like not enjoy the experience, but help just get it over with. And yeah.
So you use humor in those difficult situations, and have you found that to be valuable?
Yes, definitely.
And I sensed when you said that there's a little something a little deeper in there, in that I sense that you feel a bit of a responsibility to others around you. In other words, correct me if I'm wrong, but what I hear you saying is you're concerned for them when they're watching you having a difficult situation, and so you sort of try to lighten the situation with a bit of humor. Is that right?
Yeah, I love them for being there right alongside me and helping me through the situation.
Another thing your mom told me, she said that the treatments take 4 to 5 hours and that the hospital has lots of games, movies, and good food for you when you're there for the treatment. Sounds pretty good. Sign me up. You sometimes go for a movie or another fun activity afterwards, after the treatment. All things considered, compared to school, those treatment days sound more fun.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Is it possible to still have fun, to have something to look forward to when we go through a trial, when we're ill, when we're facing something like that?
Yes. Usually my mom loves to go do stuff with me when I'm off, and I enjoy it too.
And what have you done as you've faced some of these hard things and you've had to face this illness? You have this coming at you, this hurdle that you have to cross of this illness, but oftentimes in the exercising of getting over those hurdles and in the trial that we have, let's take your sister for example. She's got cystic fibrosis, and when she decided she wanted to run, Everybody around her is saying, what are you, crazy? I mean, it takes lung power to run, and someone with cystic fibrosis doesn't have that kind of lung power. And yet, through perseverance and through training and just determination, she got herself to where she was able to, if I remember right, she's won some competitions. She's gotten records at her high school. Is that right?
Yes, she's running for the varsity high school team now, and she's loving it.
And so you can see that she took something that was difficult and found a way around that to strengthen herself and make it really an asset, when before it was a liability. With your illness, what have you done to take those things that you've had that are difficult and make them more for your benefit?
Well, I usually use my body weight to help me on the basketball court, and I use that as an asset.
Okay, now you mentioned basketball. Let's talk sports for a minute. You played Little League Baseball, often getting an IV infusion in your left arm and then pitching 4 or 5 innings with that same left arm. Sydney's been determined, but that sounds to me like Jake's a pretty determined kid too, you know, having to go through those infusions and then turn around and pitch. But your dream this year was to make the 7th grade middle school basketball team. 40 kids tried out for 12 spots. Your parents didn't tell the coach about your illness, so you wouldn't be treated differently or held to a different standard. What happened?
I made the A team, and it felt really great.
Have you enjoyed that?
Oh, definitely, yeah. It's been really fun, but the season was really short.
What position?
I'm training all year for the 8th grade team.
Oh, yeah. What position did you play?
I was usually the big man in the middle, knocking bodies around.
So that's where the use your body weight comes in.
Okay. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. And I understand that you sprained your ankle, you were sick a couple of times during the season, but other than that, you were there to play.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely got sick a little bit, and during our second game, I sprained my ankle. I was really bummed out because when I got back from the injury, somebody took my spot, but I worked harder and harder and harder in the last game of the season I started.
So how did that make you feel to know that you could do something that almost seemed impossible?
It felt wonderful.
So with all that in mind, Jake, what are some of the good things that have come to you from this illness?
I've learned how to understand others and put myself in their shoes, and I've gone through the worst, so it can't get much worse than this.
When you're in a situation where you're getting sick very quickly and the immune system isn't really working for you, being sick like that, I'm assuming, can get quite annoying. Here, you're going down a path, you know that you want to try out for the 7th grade basketball team, but you're thinking to yourself, man, if I get sick or if something happens to me, I'm out of there and someone else can take my position. You know, that's always there in the back of your mind. How do you keep yourself positive?
I just kind of forget about the sickness until the shot comes. So I just feel like a regular kid, and I just try to work harder and harder to get better and stronger.
And does that help you appreciate your mom and dad when you see them doing all these things behind the scenes?
Yes, definitely. They work really hard to keep us all safe and healthy.
It's sometimes said that a youth who has a challenge like you has to live in both worlds. You have to be a child on one side, but also you're being faced with these very adult-like challenges and adult-like problems. What world do you fit in best?
Oh, I love being a kid. You always get, you got the candy and the friends, the playing together, sleepovers. So I love all that stuff.
You're going to cash in on all that stuff as long as you can then, right?
Yes, definitely.
When you look back at the scriptures and some of those stories, what are your favorite stories and why?
I loved Ammon. He is, Chuck Norris. No, he's amazing. No, me and my friends have always liked him because he was really brave and courageous through all of his trials. And he helped others, like the Lamanite king, he helped him. And He helped him choose the right side. I love, like, the courageous people who just deal with it, suck it up and deal with it.
And you've done that in your life.
Yeah, sort of, but my family's helped me through it a lot.
You're being a little bit modest there, but you've done that. How has being a member of the Aaronic Priesthood helped you face your trials?
It's helped me because I feel a lot closer to God.
So what would you say to someone who might be a bit discouraged because they're facing an immune deficiency or they're sick a lot and they find themselves being restricted from their friends and they just, on the surface, it doesn't look like they're being normal children. What have you noticed about that? What would you say to them?
I would say just try to work through it and it'll all get better someday.
Talking with your mom, she said one of the hardest moments she and your dad experienced was the night you came down with swine flu symptoms. They rushed you to the ER and you were getting more and more sick as they were driving you on the way. At one point, you got tears in your eyes and you asked, "What if I don't wake up tomorrow?" Have you thought much about your own life's mission here and the fact that our missions here will end someday for each of us? Have you thought about your mortality in that way?
Yes. I really did think I was gonna, like, I might not wake up the next morning because it felt terrible.
Was that scary for you at all?
Yeah, it was frightening.
What did you decide after you asked that? I'm sure for your mother that was a really hard thing to hear you say. We know we will all die at some point. How did you come to terms with the fact that that's a possibility, and are you ready?
Well, I didn't really go to sleep that night. As I've always thought, as long as you keep, like, a righteous life, it'll all be great in the end.
So you trust your Father in heaven?
Yeah.
How do you trust him?
I trust him by the sign he gives us every day. And he's given us the scriptures, and he's given us people to preach them to us. And I'm so thankful for him. My sisters are great. They love me unconditionally, and they would do anything for me. I think my parents are really great role models, and they've been through a lot, and I love them unconditionally, and I think they love me back.
You think
although
so?
Although sometimes I stress them out.
So, Jake, what bit of Jake wisdom would you share with the world if you could?
I'd probably say have fun because life's short, and you should make the best of it and say your prayers at night and read the scriptures.
So that's a wide variety of counsel there, and I like that. I like that you're practical and yet spiritual about it as well.
I've learned that life is great. Love your family. Don't go all hateful towards your family because they're really the only people you have in the end. And Jesus and your friends. Every prophet on this earth that has been on this earth is a true prophet of God. They all know what they're talking about. I know that God will, he'll help us through everything, and he will guide us in our everyday lives. And I know the scriptures that are true, and that if you say your prayers every night, then you'll return to Heavenly Father someday. Somewhere in Nephi, there's, like, the only scripture I've memorized, and it says, "And my Father dwelt in a tent." But that's, like, the only scripture I've memorized. So,
and why do you think that's in there?
Well, I think it's kind of, like, however short it is, it kind of means something. Because when it says, "And my Father dwelt in a tent," like, he left his house and everything he owned to go into the wilderness and live in a tent.
Does that, as you look at Lehi and what he did, didn't that take quite a bit of courage to do that?
Yes, and also the faith in God that God would make things all right, and leaving all of his earthly possessions to go out into the wilderness and fend for himself and trust God's word.
This has been Enduring It Well with host W.A. Christensen, presented by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.